Welcome to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. Thanks for joining us on our ongoing culinary exploration of the beautiful Comox Valley. Welcome back to the Edible Valley Podcast. With me, as always, is John Fraser. I'm Darren Howlett. And with us today, we have...
Aaron from Taku Cookery up on Quadra Island. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, we're really excited. We just met, actually, this Monday with the Chefs Association with their winter social meeting.
We did. Such a great meal. Yes. It was amazing at the Blackfin.
And we had, wonderful dinner there. They put on a beautiful spread for us, and it was a lot of fun. So it's got a lot of fun to meet a lot of different people there. I thought it was quite interesting, the wide variety of different cooks and chefs and people from the Vancouver Island that were there. So.
Yeah, lots of excitement in the room, lots of chatting. It was really great.
Yeah, exactly. And excellent that I was able to sucker you into coming in here and sitting down and chatting with us. So we're glad you could come in.
Oh, thanks.
So we're going to ask you a few questions about what's going up on Quadra Island and what's the cookery all about. So
yeah, absolutely. I've just been brought up to speed and spent the whole morning poring over the website, of course. But can you tell us more? What exactly it is that you're doing there?
Sure. So what we're doing is we're basically bringing in some really amazing chefs up to Quadra to share their skills and knowledge in a really nice, intimate setting in our homestyle type kitchen on Quadra. We really want to highlight what is available on Quadra. There's so many different producers on the island that not everyone knows about. And we just have this bounty of seafood and produce and wild foods. And we really want to highlight that for the island, as well as to highlight the chefs that are coming up to share their knowledge with us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereabouts are you drawing them from? Where are the chefs hailing from?
So the dream of the cookery actually has been in the making for several years. The family that owned Taku Resort are Faye and Milton Wong, the Wong family. And Milton had a great vision of looking at food and family and people coming together. The resort is actually centered around families coming together and vacationing.
Oh, wow.
And so the family is has always been huge advocates of food and food security, as well as family mealtime together. So they had a vision quite some time ago around what could possibly happen in their home on the property with this kitchen, this amazing kitchen. And so they started to bring over a couple of chefs from France that they had met through a friend and started to just do a bit of kind of cooking classes with family. And the chef said, you know what, we could really expand. You could really expand what's happening here in the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
So we've started to bring in several chefs from Vancouver, as well as Victoria. We might have a chef coming up from Mexico.
Wow.
In the summer. So they're really coming from all over.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Really. And so what kind of food are you having them prepare there? Is it just a mix of everything? Or like, what are the classes all about, I guess?
Yeah, so it's been a mix. So of course, it was classic French with the chefs that came over from France. And then we've had some pastry classes. We've had Greg Hook from Chocolate Arts in Vancouver come up and do two chocolate courses with us. So one that was a bit more basic and then a bit more advanced with tempering and so on. So he brought up all of his equipment. And then we're looking at a bit more French style cuisine coming up this spring. And Chef James Hutton is also coming up from the Culinary Team Canada team to talk to us a little bit about that perspective of cooking and that competition style as well. And then we've had some Indian style cooking, and we're going to have some Thai cooking in the early summer.
Oh, wow.
So quite a broad range. We're really open to any kind of style and just what interests people that come up.
So is there a certain set skill level that you need to have when going into these classes?
No, that's the beauty. We've had a range from novice all the way up to professional chef, like Red Seal chefs that have come to actually take the courses.
Oh, wow.
We've actually had a few chefs that have come to take the courses. So I think it's just a really dynamic environment to just either refresh your skills, learn new skills, share with one another, and create new relationships.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. So it would sort of adjust based on the skill level of, say, the whoever's going to be staying at the resort.
Yeah, the way that the kitchen is set up, we actually do all hands-on cooking classes.
Right. That was my next question. What's the kitchen look like?
Yeah, and I read some of the testimonials, and it seemed like some people really knew what they were doing, and some people didn't have a clue what they were doing until they got there. But yeah.
Yeah, where we take a minimum of 6 people and a maximum of 8.
Right.
So that's the beauty when you have different levels of skills that are coming in, because the chef is able to really work with you one-on-one.
Right.
So I can't really think of another atmosphere where there's cooking classes that you have that ability to really spend a day and a half or 2 days with a chef, where they can actually personally come to you and either stay a little bit later if you wanted to learn more, or share a little bit more depending on your skills. But every chef we've had has been so accommodating and so skilled at working with different levels, so we've been really lucky.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Excellent. So how long are the classes? Like when you come in there, you're in there all day, is that? Or?
Yeah, they vary. So we've had between, our maximum was like 5 days that we did a 5-day intensive French course, which was quite intensive, and more for those that were more advanced in their skill level. But we more so now we've been doing about a day and a half to 2 days worth of classes. So we'll typically start out on a Friday evening. We might have more of a demo or a reception style class that night, and then all day Saturday. So usually 3-hour blocks,
right?
Preparing for lunch and then preparing for a dinner.
Right.
And then some of the chefs like to do Sunday morning classes as well.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not you're just offering the classes, you're also offering the accommodations, the whole package. It's a getaway.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful place to learn and as well as stay. So it's most of the chefs that come up from the city get to the resort and then they just sigh a sigh of relief coming to like a slower pace.
I saw the photos. It was absolutely serene and beautiful.
It's a beautiful, quiet environment to come and spend some time. You overlook Rebecca Spit Provincial Park, and then on a clear day, you can also see the Coast Mountain Range.
Wow.
So it's a really beautiful place to come for a weekend or longer.
Excellent.
Right.
Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the amenities at the resort, some of the things that are happening there.
Sure. So the resort is quite unique as it's celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, and there's a range of accommodations from camping all the way to executive-style condo-type accommodations right on the water. As well as right there, there's a full marina. If you happen to want to sail up with your boat and then come and take a course. We have actually a few people do that from Vancouver, Victoria, and brought their boat up and then have taken a course. There's also the beautiful Rebecca Spit Provincial Park, which is just a walking distance away. There's paddle boards. There's, stand-up paddle boards, kayaking, beautiful hiking on Quadra that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah.
Gorgeous mountain biking trails. There's bike rentals just up the street. It's really a place to come with your whole family and to be active and relax as well the whole time that you're there.
Wow.
Excellent. And you can learn how to cook.
And you can learn how to cook from amazing chefs that are coming up and spending time with us.
Excellent bonus.
Yeah.
So how did you come into this? How did you get involved?
So I love food. I'm originally from Newfoundland. So, you know, at breakfast, we talk about lunch. At lunch, we talk about dinner. At dinner, we talk about the next.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah. And I was really fortunate enough to meet the Wong family a few years back. And I was just asked to help out with one of their family cooking weekends. And so, of course, I volunteered to just wash dishes and meet the chef that was coming up and to just eat the food. Because where we're at, we don't have a lot of those possibilities on Quadra to meet dynamic chefs that are coming through.
Right.
So I was quite excited. And then anytime they needed someone, I just asked to be involved. And so I really got to know the courses inside and out and got to know the kitchen. And then I had left a position that I was working at looking for something new and dynamic. And the family approached me to ask me if I wanted to try to expand the cookery. So this was about almost a year and a half ago now.
Wow.
And so ever since, I've been pretty excited to meet new chefs and plan the courses and meet all the wonderful people that come up. I mean, one of the reasons why I really love the courses and love the work that I do with it is that I see such beautiful relationships form at these short weekends, these short retreats. People come up and not knowing each other at all to the next day, they're hugging and they're having so many belly laughter spilling the kitchen, and just because they're working with their hands together.
Yeah, there's an intimacy going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
That connection through food that I find everyone has.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a simple way for people to form relationships, and I think meaningful relationships where people have kept in contact and have let me know after the courses that they're still in contact and they still have those relationships and they never knew each other
incredible.
Before the course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I found that myself with doing classes at Beyond the Kitchen Door, which I know you've worked with them a little bit, that it was always, you always seemed to get the same group always trying to get back into the classes because they clicked really well together and it was just a fun time, right? So
yeah.
I can imagine you get the same sort of feeling up there
with
people coming back and back.
It's really beautiful. Especially we did a bread course, one of the weekends, the fall past, and people just working with their hands with the dough, even everyone kneading their dough at the same time, was just a really beautiful thing to watch too. Yeah. Because it's just, it's so simple, and everyone has the ability to.
I involve my children in the kitchen a lot, and lately my daughter has just. I've taken to doing a lot of breads lately and whatever, bread products, and yeah, lately that's been her big thing. She wants to be the one kneading the dough. She just looks so, you know, so fun to get your hands in there and work the dough.
Nice, yeah.
But yeah.
So what are some of the future plans for the cookery? Because I hear that's your job now to expand it. So mm-hmm. where are you going with it?
So we're bringing up some really dynamic chefs, and so expanding just the courses that we have been offering. We're still in a bit of that experimental phase to see what people are really interested in, even lengths of courses that people are interested in, types of courses people are interested in. But we're also really interested and are actively seeking out local producers. So we really want to focus on bringing in local produce, local meats, and then having that as a bigger connection, a bigger network that we can support on Quadra as well. There's a food scene on Quadra that's it's up and coming, I would say. I think it, not that it didn't exist before, but I think now there's a young group of farmers and food producers that are really kind of gelling and getting to know each other and then forming actually local food markets on the island. Nice. So it's a really nice thing to see, and Teku really wants to support that.
Right. Yeah, I hate to admit or confess that I've only been to Quadra once before, and it was years ago. I've already promised the kids that we're going to go spend a week over there this summer and just really explore the island and figure out what it's all about.
Yeah, come over. So many people don't realize how big Quadra is.
Yeah, it's quite a large island, and there's a lot on there.
Yeah, and the mountains that we have, the lake system that we have, the hiking trails, biking trails, it's so extensive, and it's a really beautiful, vibrant little community. Yeah. So I encourage everyone to come and check it out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Nice. Yeah.
I've always loved the smaller islands around here. Like, I mean, I grew up on Hornby Island, so it was... I got that feeling for that. So, yeah. But I know Quadra's got its own sort of dynamic, and it's a really interesting
and
spot.
And
all those places around there are just wonderful places. So,
yeah, it's really neat, and it's nice to see the young people now that are on Quadra. It is nice to really meet those young people that are producing more food. We have a winery now that's owned by a young couple, South End Winery. They've been open for a few years now, and they're also starting to produce more food. We have a couple of young men that are starting to take on more livestock and producing more beef, and really cooperating with people that have land and sharing that land and to grow more food. Then lots of produce and herbs, and it's really a dynamic island in terms of its biodiversity as well, and different climates, microclimates on the island with the different elevations. So there's a wide variety of possibilities for food.
That's fantastic.
And plus you've got the ocean right there, so
And it's, I mean, that's right in the whole strait there. I mean, the fantastic fishing in there.
Our shellfish is incredible.
I can imagine.
Some really great oyster farms and mussel farms in the area, and a scallop farm as well that's owned by the First Nation, the Wiwakai First Nation from Quadra Island well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think actually in the restaurant, John and I work in a restaurant together. I think we're always serving, aren't we generally serving mussels?
We're getting our Salt Spring Island mussels from... Harriet Bay.
Yeah. But they're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous, and it confuses. I won't touch any other mussels.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're
amazing
for me. And I'm getting them direct. I get them direct off the beach that day.
Nice.
Actually, from one of our previous guests, Hollywood Oysters, they bring them directly to my door. They've basically been cleaned, or they're picked on the beach the day before, cleaned and sent to me the next day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's been great.
Fantastic
in the restaurant
because
they just fly out the door. So people just love them. So.
Yeah, we have. We always bring in some oysters for the chefs when they come, and they're always just, especially if they're up from Vancouver, and they're just so blown away by the freshness of the oysters. They're like, when did this come off the beach? We're like, oh, probably a couple hours ago, you know? And they said, I've never had an oyster this fresh and this like, beautiful and amazing.
And just from some of these points alone, that must be able to draw some of your clients, your potential clients.
Mm-hmm.
Where exactly, like, how far are they coming from? Are they all relatively local so far, or are you drawing people from further away?
Yeah, so far people have been pretty local.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get the word out a little bit. That's what we're playing with as well, to try to draw people from further away, because it's just always interesting to see why people are coming. And the family does have relatives down near San Francisco area in California.
Oh, wow,
so we have had some people come up from that area, but we'd like to expand it a bit.
Yeah, because I imagine that what you've got, I can imagine it appealing to a whole slew of people that... aren't local.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I look forward to you getting the word out and drawing some more people over this way.
Yeah, part of that is that we're hoping to do some more partnerships with the food producers and the food companies in the Comox Valley.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So an example is the Gourmet Trails.
Right. Right.
So Gaetan and I just had a chat the other day about how we could partner up and look at doing a bit of a tour along with a retreat, and then just how we can network and promote each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just always the best way to go.
It is.
Well, the
fantastic.
The food industry in this area is growing, and it's the farmers, and people are really looking at the land and going, you know, there's something here.
There is. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the impetus for the podcast. John was looking around and just said, look at all this. This is incredible. We should be documenting some of it. We should be helping it. Yeah. So here we are.
Yeah, I'm telling Blaine all this stuff over the dining room table there, and I went to this farm and I went to this one. He's like, "We got to get this out there. We need people to learn this. About this and hear about it." So it's a lot of fun, and maybe we're not so dependent on food coming from the mainland and focus on our own general area. So.
Yeah, or from boxes or from whatever. Yeah, get out there and see all this great bounty around us.
Yeah.
And even as a realization of the health benefits and the nutrition in those foods that are so, I'm trained as a dietitian.
Right.
And part of my interest as well in the food industry here and like the local food eating and, you know, the 100-mile diet and everything that's so focused on in Vancouver is that most of that fresh food is actually coming from our island.
I know. I read that as well when I saw that the 100-mile diet and centered out in Vancouver, how so much of that, there's just a big swath of it comes straight from the island. And I mean, it's within their 100 miles. I know we completely self-sustain just here on the island. We don't need anything from the mainland if we just look around and source it out ourselves here. It's fantastic. We truly are blessed here.
Other than flour.
Yeah.
Well, you can. That's our one Achilles heel. No one can produce it in the amount.
Yeah.
But maybe we all eat a little too much flour anyways.
So. Yeah, I've been trying to eliminate it lately anyways.
I did meet a fellow the other day actually that was making acorn flour.
Yeah, I've heard there's a lot of people doing alternatives to wheat flour. Which is great.
Yeah.
I'd love to see another little mill set up, little grain mill.
For sure. So what are some of your favorite foods?
Oh, wow.
Just to throw it at you.
My favorite foods have usually had food memories, I think, along with them. So my mom always cooked with us growing up, and she's an amazing cook. And I think one of my favorite dishes is this homemade cannelloni that we've been making since I can remember. Mm-hmm. A girlfriend of hers had a father from Malta,
right?
And he had kind of inherited this homemade pasta recipe. And so that had been like passed down through both our family and their family over the years.
Yeah.
So every Christmas, we always get together and it's two families together and we hand roll the pasta. So I learned how to make homemade pasta as a Newfoundlander from a very young age.
Wow.
And so that meal in itself is probably one of my favorites because, well, it's delicious. It has a beautiful bechamel sauce,
right?
And then this gorgeous like homemade tomato sauce too with it, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think that's I come from the same, somewhat relatively same environment where our mom was she was amazing with food, just absolutely amazing. Our whole life was set up around entertaining, and we had guests over or we went to other places and took food with us almost I would say probably twice a week, if not three times a week, throughout my entire childhood. And it fosters such an appreciation of food and the how important and pivotal it is to everything that we do and all our relationships. Mm-hmm. And I that's what I'm aiming to do now is, you know, not forcibly, but definitely exposing my children from a very young age to get involved in food. So I just hope that everybody else can do that too, you know?
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd have to say, I think my second favorite food might be a pick cook, which I've been fortunate enough to learn since I moved out to the West Coast.
Right.
I've been blessed to work with some First Nations communities on the island around food practices for the last 7 years or so. And I don't know if you've ever seen a pick cook before, like a steam pick cook before, but the food that comes out of the pick cooks is so phenomenal.
Amazing.
So good. And just the ritual around the steam pit, as well as the cultural and family implications in terms of what the steam put looks like. I've seen probably 8 or 9 variations of it just here on the island in terms of how to set it up and different ways of layering different foods and different ferns. And
Should
just maybe even just describe that to people because, I mean, a lot of people don't know what it is, right? But dig in a big pit.
But most of the communities that I've worked with have actually done it on the beach. So the pit has been dug in the beach, but other communities have done it in the ground. Mm-hmm. So there's both possibilities. And then the pit is actually layered and filled with black, dense rocks that are very specific. You have to know how to pick them out. Other communities aren't that specific, but the most successful ones I've seen have been very specific, like flat, very dark black rocks. Mm-hmm. And the pit is lined with those rocks. And then a fire is built within the pit, and then the fire is removed, but then so the rocks have been heated. And then there's a layering of salals and fern, and sometimes kelp, bull kelp.
Right.
And then we've done shellfish pits, as well as we've done root vegetable pits and meat pits.
Right.
And then it's covered over, usually with sand, and most communities now use like a burlap sack or a blanket to keep the steam in. Water's added, and then it steams, and it's just the flavors that come out of the pits.
It's the ultimate slow cook.
Yeah. So good.
And I've had little ones in the community that the moms have said, you know, I haven't seen this practice since I was a little girl, and my little ones won't eat, say, like clams, and I wish that they did. And then we get them involved in doing the pit cook, and then all of a sudden, the little one's like eating like a whole plate full of clams.
That's the key. My son is such a picky eater, but if he helps me make the food, he wants to try it.
Yeah, I
absolutely agree. It's great seeing kids get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So I guess a little bit of if people want to come out and get involved and take a cooking class or, you know, at least just enjoy the resort, how would they do that?
So they can look at our website, which is www.takucookery.com, or email me at cookery@takuresort.com. And all the information is found on our website. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions about booking or any upcoming courses, or if anyone's interested in teaching a class, I'm more than happy. We're hoping to rope John into doing a class for us.
Oh, that'd be great.
It's becoming very appealing to me. As I went through the website and I was like, ooh, I need to go there.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, for sure.
It's been a while since I've been on the island, so
yeah,
it'd be great.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yes. Thanks for having me.
It was great talking about what you're doing. I wish you all the best, and I hope that you are able to draw and appeal to all these other potential people out there that would just love this.
Thank you, and thanks for supporting the cookery. It's great when we partner up and get the word out about what's happening here on the island.
Well, maybe you convince some of your chefs to come and sit down and talk to us, and we can learn a little bit more about them.
So okay, yeah.
That would be great.
Sounds great.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to us at the Studio Live in Cumberland, BC. We graciously accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website at ediblevalley.com.
And like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your questions and comments at ediblevalley@gmail.com. We would love to hear your suggestions for guests or what you'd like to hear on our show. And don't hesitate to send John your cooking questions or pick our brains for local food information. Remember,
keep it local.